Hey everyone, welcome to the 17th episode of Field Reports, formerly the ARC episodes. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we get into the speed run of the next 7 or 8 episodes of the campaign. First and foremost, thank you for sticking with us for the last 3 years and going down this insane rabbit hole with us. We really wouldn't have it any other way. Second, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming and it's worth checking out. Lastly, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover. We would all appreciate the love and support. So now, without further ado, we will jump into the field report on the Glasmeda Isles. Confrontation commences as the adult blue dragon swoops down upon the airship, releasing a torrent of lightning breath upon the party. The devastating attack leaves some severely injured, but miraculously conscious. To tip the scales, Salux employs invisibility on Galahad, who decides to embark on a daring endeavor. Amidst the dragon summoning storm elementals for reinforcement, the Goliath consumes a potion of growth and hurls himself off the ship towards the unsuspecting beast. Landing on its back, he affixes himself to the creature just as the dragon attempts to shake him off by diving toward the open sea a mile below. In a heroic move, Galahad unleashes divine punishment and ultimately slays the dragon. Meanwhile, Argyle is knocked off the airship by the elementals, prompting Zex to send Duo to his immediate rescue. The giant eagle comes to the aid of both Argyle and Galahad, summoned by Zex, with Duo excitedly recounting the events to Zex. Post-battle, the party diligently harvests the dragon's bones, scales, and blood for future use. Exhausted, they finally find respite. Galahad's newfound fairy dragon companion reveals her true identity as the dragon goddess Halal, the messenger at Thazgaroth. The two engage in a profound exchange about the challenges the party will face and the impending end of their journey, and concluding with her transformation back into a fairy dragon. Amidst damage assessment and airship repairs, Shanks learns the poignant backstory of Salix's aversion to dragons, a tale woven with elements of love and betrayal. Argyle, reflecting on his airborne escapade, acquaints himself with the ship's upper reaches. Zex and Argyle discuss the latter's guild, unveiling the disparities in their sentiments towards their respective affiliations. Hoshino gathers the group for another legend lore spell, unveiling more information about the machines and the constable. However, casting the spell on them yields more questions than answers for the group. The machines, bisected, low, and high, 3 and 3 are 1. 1 is 4 is 12. Low are unique anchors for 3. High hangs in balance with law. To unmoor one is to disrupt 12. The Constable. Many faces breed wonder, then apathy. Opposing forces always entangle. An immovable object meets an unstoppable force. Constant struggle. The journey provides an opportunity for the party to deepen their understanding of each other, but it also underscores the scrutiny they face with multiple invested interests keenly observing their every move. Zex, sensing the weight of the future and the shared burden of guilt, engages in a heart-to-heart with Shanks. Meanwhile, Salix seeks guidance from the Daughter of the Void to confirm their worthiness of bestowed gifts. Zex communicates with Quo, Kivella, and Sonari, each offering unique insights and warnings about the unfolding events across the plains. Galahad reveals that the dragon allied with Antonius is the Iron Nimbus, Volsir, a legendary Druulkas, and sheds light on the impending clash between the party and these two formidable forces. The party realized that the individuals that they encountered in Grone City, both outside and in the brothel that Galahad and Argyle took Kyver to, are aligned against the Constable and pose a threat to the party, as they are revealed to be one of the potentially multiple sets of insurgents loyal to Tiamat. In the aftermath of recent events, the party decides to use Zex Conjure Animal spells to familiarize themselves with aerial combat. Shanks contemplates the information obtained from Hoshino's Legend Lore spell, and upon reaching the Glasmeda Isles, Quan and the party share updates, only to be confronted with a dire situation. The machines wreak havoc on the Isles, prompting the group to strategize their approach, considering the magical disturbances they might encounter. Shanks reveals another gift from his patron, Elrin, adding another layer to their preparations as they finally approach the machine. Camping for the night, Shanks and Argyle engage in a conversation during their watch. They discuss mistakes, learning from them, and dealing with those who persistently repeat them. Conversation delves into their shared patron Elrin and the differing moral compasses within the group. Salix spends time training Duo during their watch, and Galahad helps Zex try to connect with Solinar during their final watch. The next morning, the group optimizes their time, with Duo securing a guide from the local fauna. The party gathers materials for their creations, specifically Salix and Shanks, and seeks an elk for a meal, where Shanks and Zex go and hunt for said elk. The group embarks on a drug-induced journey for various reasons, because they found magic mushrooms, obviously, seeking clarity, resolution, or confirmation. The experience fosters group bonding, with each member encountering their own revelations and questions. The following morning, the party is led by their found guide, a primate that Duo found the day before with an unusual set or an unusual extra pair of limbs in their abdomen. They are led there, led to the beginning of the dome. Initially, they come across a deserted town and plants shaped like Gripply. They begin to investigate and try to assess what happened. They're unclear and uncertain of how much time they have before any strange occurrences happen to them, but then they realize that this dome has dissipated. The barrier that was distorting the land and magic has miraculously vanished. They decide to hurry towards the machine and scout out around it. Coming upon it, they see recent scorch marks and try to assess what may have caused it and potentially find the people responsible. They realize that this machine is down and will remain down for at least a little while, buying them the necessary time to coordinate an attack to take out all of them at once. There was some back and forth on whether or not to leave a way to access the machine, but they concluded that leaving a transportation circle that Zex's bow provided was the best solution. They make it back to Cordell and the Swift Hummingbird and discuss the next steps. Galahad and Zex fill the captain in on everything, leaving her with a bottle of alcohol and lots of mind-blowing information. They propose that they use the Swift Hummingbird to be their vessel on their quest while in Sloan, but Hoshino must include the captain and the crew in whatever story he is writing about them. With a newly agreed-upon term, they remove the previous circle on the ship and set a path to the Heartwood. This is just the beginning of their time in Sloan and the next part of their journey. Alright, so from the start of the dragon fight to the point at which the party returns to the airship, a lot of information is dropped. They gain a much better understanding. To a certain point, there's still things that need to be clarified, but they get a much better understanding about what happens when the machines begin to amp up their power, how they're connected, and what they have to do to stop all of this shit from happening. They also find out a lot about each other on this trip, and even with all of the action that is within this arc, there is a serious amount of downtime in between all of the dots of action, and you see a lot more bonding and questioning and sort of figuring things out, and it's awesome to see. So hopefully that continues, which, spoiler alert, it kind of does, but you'll get there. If you're following along, jump on in. It's getting spicy. Please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming and it's worth checking out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So we'll see you next week for Divergent Paths, and in 2 weeks for Collateral Damage 129. Until then, safe travels.